Hey, this is Adam Starling. I'm the senior pastor at Victory Family Church. Thank you so much for joining us today. I pray this message will inspire you, encourage you, and hopefully challenge you to become everything that God has called you to be. Enjoy the message.
Good morning. Welcome again to VFC. Thanks so much for being here this morning. Before we jump into it today, I want to just do two really important things. First, we just want to honor all of our veterans in the room. And so, if you're a veteran, if you've served our country, would you stand up all over the room? Yeah. Awesome. Man, we are, we're so incredibly grateful for you. And we know, I'll speak for the whole room. I usually don't like to speak for other people, but I will today. I speak for everybody when I say we're just grateful for you and grateful for the sacrifices you've made. So frankly, we can worship freely. Man, I come here every Sunday with no fear of true persecution, and so incredibly grateful for all that you've sacrificed, all that you've done for us and for our country. Also, when you came in, you should receive this Jesus birthday offering. And so you can read the front. And then when you get home, find your magnifying glass and you can get it out. You'll be able to read the backside of this. But we're going to have a magazine type of thing in a few weeks that'll go more in depth on all of this. But I just wanted you to have something that you could begin praying about. It's kind of like a save the date type of deal. I want you to just begin praying about what God would have you give to our Jesus birthday offering. And we've done this for several years, and I love this. Every dollar that comes in the tithes and offering, the Sunday before Christmas, and all of our Christmas Eve worship experiences, it goes right back out to missions and outreach. It'll all go to these organizations. And so again, we wanted to get this information out to you early this year, just so you could be in praying. Just, God, what would you like me to give, to invest, to be generous in this season that we celebrate you? We know we're blessed really for one reason, and that's to be a blessing. So we know as a church, we want to bless as a church. We want to make sure we're always blessing not just our community. We want to do that in a huge way. But also, man, everybody we can bless around the world. So be praying for that. Today, Pastor Dan Hunter is here. It's been like he's one of the best preachers on the planet, and one of my best friends. And he usually preaches like three times a year or four times a year. And I didn't realize this. He hadn't preached in over a year, and that's my bad. So I apologize to you because you're missing out. And he's an incredible communicator, but also, he's invested in my life and in our staff and in our church more than any other person over the last decade. And a lot of times people call me, our church has grown and God's blessed us, and people call me and they want my opinion, they want my advice on something. And I say, I'll give you my advice, but what you really need to do is call Dan Hunter, because he is the most brilliant ministry mind I've ever been around in my life. He's a good dude. Loves Jesus, loves his family, loves his church. Pastors an awesome church in Houston. So we're blessed to have him. So VFC, can we make incredibly welcome my friend, Pastor Dan Hunter.
Love you, brother. Well, man, it is a joy to be here and to just be a part of this great church. I truly mean this, man. When I'm here, I feel just blessed, and I feel more full like when I leave than I'm sure I give to you. But man, it's a joy. And then I get mad at you because you get to come every week, and I only get to come like once a year, and that's not fair. Like, you guys are so lucky. This church is amazing. Don't you love your church? This, I mean, honestly, one of the greatest churches in the nation, and this staff, this team is unbelievable. They're so worthy of honor and recognition, because they work so hard, and I'm just so excited about what God's doing in this church. And then Pastor Adam and Christy are just they're my favorite. They really are. And I'm blessed to be here. And honestly, I wish I could sit out there with you every week and call them pastor, because they love you. And they love this community. And they're some of the greatest leaders that you'll know. And definitely the greatest pastors. And you guys are blessed. Can you just honor your pastor today? Yeah. Well, you know, today I just want to encourage you, and I believe that God's given me a word to encourage you with, and to kind of help you and challenge you a little bit. And I just believe God's going to do some great things today if you'll open your heart and allow Him to speak some stuff straight to you. Here's the beautiful thing about God is there could be 1,000 people in a room, and God has the ability to meet each and every person individually. Aren't you thankful to God for that? And when you come, you're not here to meet people. I think that's the beauty of the church. We get to gather together, but you're really here to meet with God. And I believe God's got a word for you. And I want to encourage you to have a little bit of faith about what God wants to do in your situations, in your life. Some of you walked in here with struggles and with situations that are much bigger than you. And I want you to have faith that God can do it. And immediately some of you would say, well, I wouldn't consider myself to be someone of great faith. And then I would tell you, well, okay, small faith in God makes a big difference in your life. As a matter of fact, I'd say this. I'd say, listen, you don't have to have great faith. You just got to have a little bit of faith in a great God, because God is good, amen? And God is on your side. And so I want to take you today to a story in the book of 2 Kings chapter 6. So if you open your Bible, if you have your phone and you haven't downloaded the Bible app, do that right now. And that way you've got a Bible, you can look along that. I'm telling you, it'll change your life. If you got a paper Bible, open up to 2 Kings chapter 6. And if you don't know where 2 Kings is, it's somewhere in your Bible between Genesis and Revelation. It's right there. Promise you'll find it. 2 Kings 6, and it's an incredible story, one of my favorite stories. And I want to give you a little bit of background before we dive into the story so that you'll know what's happening in there. There is a group of people, the Syrians, and in this day and age, the Syrians were pretty evil, and they would always try to destroy God's people. And so the king of Syria would gather his people together and attack Israel, and they would try to attack Israel and destroy God's people, thus destroying what God wanted to do. And it just so happens that every time the Syrian army would attack Israel, didn't matter their strategy, didn't matter when, where, how, none of that mattered. Every single time, the Israel army knew exactly what they were going to do, when they were going to do it, and how they were going to do it. So it started driving the king of Syria mad. I mean, he was just like, how do they know? How do they know when? How do they know how? How do they know what's going on? And so he did what all of us do when we want to find out, information. He got on Facebook and Twitter, and he started asking, does anybody know what to know? And then everything on Facebook and Twitter is true. So he started kind of diving into that and started arguing with people, saying, well, who's selling our secrets? And you know as well as I do, any good Christian knows, you get on there and you argue your faith online, and it always makes a difference in people's lives. And so he starts arguing, what he believed and all this stuff on there. And it came down to it that he gathered all of his leaders around and he kind of gathered them around, and he was saying, who is it that's selling our secrets? Who is it that's telling the enemy, Israel, God's people, the plan? Who is it? And one of the leaders raises his hand. It's all right there in the Bible before we read. And he says this right here. He goes, it's none of us. We're not the ones doing this. It's actually a prophet named Elisha. Now, this guy, Elisha, hears from God. And so he's hearing from God and telling God's people what we're going to do, how, and when. Syria, the king of Syria was like, what? Like, how is this even possible? And so he goes, well, I know how to fix this. If we're going to defeat Israel, then we got to kill Elisha. And so here's where we stumble upon the story. And the king of Syria's eyes are now fixed on Elisha to destroy him because what God's doing through Elisha. Here's where we stumble upon it in verse 13 of 2 Kings chapter 6. Follow along as we read this passage and this story. Here's what he says in verse 13. Go, find out where he is. This is the king talking about Elisha. Go, find out where he is, the king ordered, so I can send men and capture him. The report came back, and here's what they said. Elisha is in Dothan. Then he, the king of Syria, then the king sent horses and chariots and a strong force there. They went by night and surrounded the city. You ever just wake up one day and everything changed? Like your marriage was fine yesterday, but then you wake up today and it's like there's an attack leveraged against your marriage. You ever wake up one day, everything's good at your job, next day you lose your job? You ever just wake up one day, you think everything's good in your health, but you go to the doctor and you get a report from the doctor and everything's changed? Overnight, in the middle of the night, all of a sudden, Elisha and his servant, his aide, was surrounded by the enemy. Can I just tell you today that God is with you and he is on your side? And if it feels like you've walked in here and maybe decades ago, years ago, days ago, hours ago, it feels like you've been surrounded by the enemy, maybe with your kids wandering from their faith, maybe financially in your bank account, whatever is going on emotionally in your own mind, in your own heart, maybe you're here today and it's been years since you've found joy and purpose. Can I just tell you, God is with you today and he's brought you here to encourage you so that you can find the miracle and the breakthrough that he wants you to experience. The enemy may have surrounded you suddenly, but I want you to know you're not alone. So all of a sudden, here's what happens. By night, they surround the city. Verse 15, when the servant of the man of God, this is the aide, the servant of Elisha, Elisha's the man of God, got up and went out early the next morning, an army with horses and chariots had surrounded the city. What was his servant's first response? Oh no, Lord, what shall we do? You ever been there? You're like, don't know what to do. You just know you're in trouble with a capital T, right? You just know things are not good. Man, what are we going to do in our marriage? What are we going to do, man? I don't know what to do. Man, I just feel lost. I don't feel purpose. I don't feel any joy. What are we going to do with this doctor's report? I don't even know what to do right now. This is where the servant was. And so the servant asks, Elisha goes and wakes him up. Oh no, my Lord, what shall we do? Notice what the prophet answered. He said, don't be afraid. I just feel like that's a word for some of you today. You're operating in fear, and I believe the Lord brought you here to simply say to you, don't be afraid. And he said, don't be afraid, the prophet answered. Those who are with us, come on, this is a word. Those who are with us are more than those who are with them. Isn't that good? And God's word's so good. Those who are with us are more than those who are with them. Verse 17, and Elisha prayed, open his eyes, Lord, so that he may see. Then the Lord opened his servant's eyes, and he looked and saw the hills full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. As the enemy came down toward him, Elisha prayed to the Lord, strike this army with blindness. So then he struck them with blindness, just as Elisha asked. The story goes on. We're not going to read it, but you can study it. It's pretty amazing. Elisha actually is now, the one they're looking for is hidden right in their midst because they're blinded. Now they can't see him, and he leads them straight to the center of the Israeli army, where then God does a deliverance and a miracle. It's a pretty great story. But what we're going to study is this passage right here, because I just feel like some of you today have been surrounded, and what you need to know is that God is with you. You've lost hope, but God's with you. Come on, you're operating in fear, but God is with you. I believe God brought you here today. I believe he woke me up and put me in Norman today at VFC to encourage you and say, keep believing for a miracle. Keep believing for a breakthrough. Keep believing for victory in your situation. Don't give up. Man, allow God to do what only God can do. I don't know if you've ever lost something or misplaced something, but it can drive you crazy. You know you had it. You know you thought you put it here and you just lost it. I grew up in a day and age where, man, I didn't have cell phone for you know, half my life, you know? And so here I am now, I've got a cell phone, and when it's not on me, I kind of feel like I'm naked, right? Like I just feel like I get in a car, I drive away, and if I'm 30 minutes away from my house and I got a meeting in like 3 or 4 minutes, I'm like canceling the meeting because I got to go back home and get my cell phone because I don't want to leave that. You know, you ever feel like you lost something? It just drives you crazy. Well, I've got twin daughters and a wife, and for whatever reason, God has blessed them with the ability to lose everything. And so they just lose it, misplace it, but they don't say they lost it or misplaced it. What they say is, Dad, I can't find my sock. I said, did you look for it? Yes. Did you look where you took it off? Yes. Dad, someone stole it. I go, hold on just a second. Ain't nobody steal anything. Dad, they stole it. I've looked everywhere. I say, you didn't look everywhere or you would have found it. We get in a little argument. And they're like, no, someone stole it. No, you lost it. No, someone stole it. I looked everywhere. I say, you didn't look everywhere. Dad, can you help me find it? And then they get mad at me like I'm the one that stole it. And I'm like, first off, my foot's bigger than yours. I don't want your sock. But let me just get this straight. You're telling me while we were asleep, someone broke into our house, left the 85-inch TV right there on the counter. We have four cell phones on the counter in the kitchen, plugged in, charging, didn't take those. A couple laptops sitting right there in the den, didn't take the laptops. Left mom's jewelry case right there in the closet. You're telling me they left all that and they said, you know what we broke in here for? A dirty sock. That's what you're telling me. Dad, I don't know what I'm telling you, but I am telling you this. Someone stole my sock. I said, okay, I'll make a deal with you. And this is what I say every time. I say, I'll make a deal with you. I'll help you find your sock. But if I find it, and you're telling me you looked everywhere, if I find it, you're doing the dishes for an entire month. You're going to mow the yard for an entire month and no one's helping you. And you owe me $300. You know what they say? I'll look again. And what do? They walk off, and guess what they find? The sock, shoved in some cushion. They didn't look. I just believe God wants some of you to look again. Look at your marriage again. Look at your situation again. Because hidden in plain sight is the army of the Lord. Hidden in plain sight, God is fighting for you. You are not alone. Some of you have given up hope because you think you've looked and God isn't answering. No, no, no. Look again. Look again. Hidden in plain sight was that dirty sock with a hole in the heel. But I'm telling you, what if in this room you looked again and some of you saw that victory was hidden in plain sight? That a breakthrough was hidden in plain sight. That a new job was hidden in plain sight. That your kids are coming back to the Lord and God is working on your behalf. And the answer is just hidden in plain sight. Some of you think you look, but you didn't really look. Look again and see that the army of the Lord is with you. Quit putting your faith in all the things that are wrong and realize that the army of the Lord has surrounded you and he is fighting with you. See, God wants to build your faith today for whatever you're walking through. In other words, what I want to tell you is your greatest victories are on the other side of your faith. Where are you putting your faith? Allow your faith to come alive today. Allow your spirit to snap alive today. Look again. And start walking in the victory that God has for you. Because hidden in plain sight, the Lord is fighting for you. And you are not alone. What I want to do for our remaining time is I want to study 2 Kings chapter 6 a little bit. And I want to pull out a few principles. Now, to be fair, when I wrote this, I had like 12 or 13 things to share with you, principles that I found buried in these few verses that we just read. But I knew you wouldn't stay here till 3 p.m. with me. So I had to say, God, what are the three things that you have for them today? And the Lord whittled it down with me, and I have three things that I just believe the Lord wants to share with you. Is that okay? And so I want you to just dive in. If you want to take notes, you can take notes. If not, just stare at me, and God will help you. And so we'll work through it, but there's three things I believe that we find buried in this passage, 2 Kings 6, 13 through 18, that the Lord wants to encourage you with. The first one is this. It's a principle that I want you to understand. The enemy may surround you, but he cannot stop you. The enemy may surround you. I'm going to say it again, but he cannot stop you. Listen, some of you need to let this sink into your spirit today. The enemy may have surrounded you, but he cannot stop you. I know right now you are surrounded. I'm not discounting that. I'm not saying your marriage isn't in trouble. I'm not saying that you haven't made mistakes and choices and decisions that's led you down a path of consequences. I'm not saying that there's not pain. I'm not saying you're not dealing with cancer. I'm not saying that your kids haven't wandered from God. But what I am saying is just because the enemy has attack does not mean he gets the victory in your life. Some of you need to recognize that the enemy has surrounded me, but he cannot stop you. And some faith needs to rise up inside of you, and you walk in victory even in the middle of a battle. We like to walk in a loss. We like to walk in the everything is awful and things aren't working the way they should. We like to sit in that and to kind of feel sorry for ourselves. And the enemy may have attacked you and stolen things from you. Your dreams and plans that he spoke to you years ago hadn't happened, and you're believing right now that they never will. See, the enemy has surrounded you and spoken lies that it's over. And what you're doing is operating in fear. Remember in the story we just read that the servant, the aide of Elisha, actually said, "Oh no, Lord, what are we going to do?" He was operating in fear, saying, "What's going to happen?" I think some of us are so good at operating in fear that that's our way of processing, is fear. There's another way to process, and that's putting your faith in God. See, sometimes we think fear is the opposite of faith, and I just want to submit to you, fear is not the opposite of faith. What I have found is fear is faith put in the wrong scenarios. See, sometimes we think, well, I don't have faith in God like that. No, you've got faith. You do have faith. You're putting your faith in everything that could go wrong. You're putting your faith in the fact that you think it's over. You're putting your faith in that there is no hope. You're putting your faith in that cancer is going to win. You're putting your faith in that your marriage is not going to fix it, that it's not going to make it. See, you're putting faith in the wrong scenarios and all the disastrous results. Fear isn't the opposite of faith. Fear is faith in the wrong things. See, you have faith because we can operate in that realm, but you need to take your faith and shove it in the corner that says God's with us. I'm not alone. Even though I'm walking through it, maybe by my own choices, maybe by my own decisions, I'm walking through some junk right now, but my faith is not in the scenarios that could happen. It's in my living God who's fighting for me. Here's my point, and I want you to get this. There were three circles in this story. The first circle was the aide, the servant, and Elisha. Just a two-person circle. It was just this little bitty circle. And some of us feel trapped like that. Like, man, nobody's with me. I'm all alone. I'm outnumbered. I'm overwhelmed. And it's this inner circle. There's a second circle. And it's the enemy. And it's intimidating. It's threatening. Because there was a brigade of soldiers and chariots and horses and armed men that had surrounded Elisha and his servant. Small circle, giant circle. But what his servant couldn't see, what there was a third circle. Some of you have walked into this and you've been living your months and days realizing two circles, but I'm here to tell you to open your eyes and see a third circle. There's a third circle, and that's the army of heaven working on your behalf. Some of you are good at seeing the first two. You're not good at seeing that third circle. And what I want to tell you today is that which outnumbers you does not outnumber God. Come on, can you just rejoice in that? See, that which has surrounded you is also being surrounded by heaven. It changes it a little bit now, right? Now all of a sudden, I'm not alone. Now all of a sudden, there is hope for my marriage. Now all of a sudden, there is hope for my future. In other words, you've got to see that which surrounds you is also being surrounded by heaven. So early in the morning, the servant walks out. What does he do? He sees this giant army. So he runs to Elisha and says, "Oh no, Lord, what are we going to do?" He's freaking out. And Elisha's response is, "There are more with us than there are against us." Now, if I'm the servant, I'm going, I don't know how you're counting that. I see one, two, and a whole bunch. What do you mean there's more with us than there are against us? And so Elisha's starting to kind of do the math. And he's going, "What do you mean? Because we're encircled. There's soldiers everywhere. What in the world are we going to do?" It's easy to feel attacked. And when you feel attacked and overwhelmed, you start counting and you start looking at it and you're going, "Dude, there's no hope and there's no way. And the enemy has your number." And he begins to whisper lies. If it's not this, then it's that. And if it's not that, then it's this. And we can feel distracted and surrounded. But James 4:7 says, "Submit yourselves then to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you." Do you understand that the army of the Lord is with you? If you'll just say, "God, I need you in this moment and in this time." See, some of us in this place, we've forgotten that God's with us. I don't know if you've ever been to a restaurant called Fogo de Chao, or you've heard of it. And I think they've got one here somewhere, or Texas de Brazil. But it's just a bunch of meat. It's a meatatorium, is what it is. You walk in, there's just meat. And they bring meat on skewers and just carve it and flop it on your plate. And if you're a vegan, you're grossed out. right? And if you're a vegan, I ain't mad at you. I'm really not. I'm not angry at you for being a vegan. I just want to tell you this one thing, and then I'll just leave it there and let God talk to you. You know, when the prodigal son came back, they didn't kill the fatted avocado. They killed the fatted calf. I just want to leave it right there for you. Let God deal. Like, whatever. I'm for you, right? But we go to Fogo de Chao every once in a while, and someone gives us a card, and you know, and they'll cut the meat up, and just and you get a little card circle, you know, the little circle, the little thing, and on one side's green. It means keep it coming, baby. I'm open for business, right? And then if you flip it over, it's red. It means stop. That means you've already unbuttoned your pants, loosened it, and you've already kind of expanded as much as you can. Like, you've already done all the tricks to get more meat in there, but you flipped it over. Can I just tell you, some of you are living your life in the middle of your struggle and battles where the enemy has attacked it, and you're flipping your faith in God on red and going, God ain't showing up. Some of you need to flip your faith back over on green and say, my Lord is showing up, and I need more of you, God, in this situation. God, I haven't given up. Keep your faith on green, not on red. In other words, what I tell you is you got to stand on the truth of God so you don't fall for the lies of the enemy. What is God doing in your situation? See, the enemy may have surrounded you, but he cannot stop you. I'm telling you, the Lord wants to breathe life into you today and remind you, even though you are in a battle, no one's saying it's not hard. But what you've got to realize is John 17, 33 says, in this world you will have trouble. So, sometimes we're like, well, man, I'm tithing. I'm coming to church. Man, I'm trying to lead my family. I mean, I'm like a young adult. Man, I'm trying to do right. I just keep messing up doing this. And we think, well, I shouldn't have trouble. No. In this world, you will. Not maybe, not might. You will have trouble. But we stop the verse and we go, I guess life just stinks. No, the verse keeps going. You know what it says? But take heart. Why? Jesus said, because I have overcome the world. And even though you're surrounded, I'm surrounding it. Some of you need to take heart today and realize, even though the enemy has surrounded you, he cannot stop you. The second thing, and I think this is huge, is this principle that the Lord wants to remind you of, and it's this right here. Breakthrough comes by operating in the spiritual, not the physical. And I know this may be hard for some of you to swallow a little bit because it's kind of, it's a little deeper for you, but breakthrough comes by operating in the spiritual, not the physical. See, the spiritual is more real than the physical. And for some of us, when we don't get that because we wake up physically with an alarm clock and we physically go to class, we physically go to work, and we eat physical food. And so you forget sometimes. You begin to drift into the reality that this is a physical life. But this life is a mist and it's a vapor and it's gone and eternity is forever. And when you were created more of a spiritual creation than you were a physical creation. And because of that, what happens is when we begin to think that we're physical, what happens is we start making choices based on our feelings, our desires, our temptations, and our lust, rather than on the word of God. And we listen to culture that says this and that and the other, and we start leaning into things like that. And well, yeah, you're right. People should be. Yeah, man, whatever you, I mean, you do your own. No. It's not your own truth. It's opinions. And you're entitled to that. The only truth isn't even mine. It's only God's word. Because we're spiritual, we don't make decisions based on feelings. We make them based on faith. I know what my flesh wants sometimes, but I deny that and I lean in and I say, no, I'm going to operate in the spiritual. And when I operate in the spiritual, not the physical, victory and breakthrough begin to happen. Imagine how the servant felt. More with us than against us. See, the servant could only see danger. He couldn't see the deliverance. Why? Because he could only look in the physical. And it wasn't just that. It was that the servant could only see what was wrong. He couldn't see what was right. Some of us are only looking at what's wrong, but you're not looking at what's right. And to do that, you got to be able to operate in the spiritual. See, the servant could only see the enemy. Elisha could see that heaven was with him. In other words, Elisha could see that the presence of God was with them in the middle of the battle. The servant, right, the aide could only see physically what he could count. In other words, here's what I'm telling you. If you're aware of God's presence, then what is threatening you does not intimidate you. Quit allowing the enemy to intimidate you and threaten you and begin to step spiritually into the reality that you were created for. You are spiritual more than you are physical. So I want you to get this, because this is going to change your life. If you will just let this sink in, it's going to change your life. I'm telling you, this is amazing. When I read this, I noticed something. The servant's first reaction was, oh no, what are we going to do? He's looking in the physical. There's a giant brigade of soldiers that have surrounded them. And Elisha's first response is to the servant, not to the army. And he says this. His first response is, hey, don't be afraid. There's more with us than there are against us. And then he looks up to heaven. He doesn't pray about the army that had surrounded him. Doesn't pray about the situation they're in. What's Elisha's first response to God? Hey, Lord, can you open his eyes that he may see? You want to know why Elisha's first response was about his eyes seeing in the spiritual, not just the physical? Because he knew, hey, you're supposed to be a man of God. You're supposed to be a woman of God. You are the church. Start seeing things that are not here physically. Open your eyes. You don't live based on your feelings. You don't live based on what you can count. Come on. And to Elisha, the bigger problem was not the army that had surrounded them. The biggest problem was here was a believer not operating in the spiritual. Because when a believer doesn't operate in the spiritual with spiritual weapons, then all of a sudden they're operating in a place of defeat. Because breakthrough comes when you operate in the spirit. Now, I know that's deep for some of you, but some of you need to learn spiritually what God has given you. That's why scripture says, he who has an ear, let him hear. If you have ears, you can hear. But what scripture was saying is there's another level of hearing what God's. That's why Jesus in Matthew 13 said, hey, the reason I talk in parables is so that those who can't see won't see, but those who can see will see. In other words, they're seeing in the physical, but then they're seeing in the spiritual. Too many of us are seeing in the physical the problems, but we're not operating in the spiritual. That's why Ephesians 6 says, for we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against the authorities and powers of this dark world, and against spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. That's the reason 2 Corinthians 10 says, for we, though we live in the world, listen, this is a word for you. Though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not found in a gym, are not found in a bank account. The weapons we fight with are different, and they have divine power to demolish strongholds. Here's the point. You can't fight a spiritual battle with physical weapons. So my question to you that many of you might be asking yourself is, then what is our spiritual weapons? If we're in a spiritual, I'll tell you what it is, worship. I'll tell you what it is, prayer. I'll tell you what it is, God's word. See, the problem with some of us is we think worship is physical because we lift physical hands and we open our physical mouth and sing. We think worship's physical, and that's a problem. Worship is not physical, it's spiritual. You know why some of us are carrying problems but we never get prayer for them? It's because we think prayer is physically with someone else to just make us feel a little bit better. Prayer is not physical, it's spiritual. The reason some of us don't read our Bible is because we think that's just physical time. No, no, no. See, if you really understood we operate in the spiritual and your weapon was worship, when you walked in here, you would worship different. You would worship because, not because I feel like it, man, I'm tired today, it's a late game, man, I'm exhausted, man. I don't feel like singing much. That's if you think worship's physical. But when you think worship's spiritual and battles are won there, you're like, you know what? I know I'm tired. And I don't even feel like I like this song, but I like what it's saying about God. And God, I'm here today for you to do a miracle in my life. You got to begin to worship like it's spiritual. Pray like it's spiritual, because that is where you fight the battles, and battles are won. Elisha's biggest problem was not the enemy around him. It was, here's a man of God who's not understanding the spiritual matters. And then there's a third principle buried here that I want you to see. And it's this principle right here. When you call on God, God will answer you. Man, I want you to be encouraged today. That's why we have our prayer team come up here every week, not so that you can come if your life's about to end, but so that everything you're carrying, small and big, you call on God. When you don't have faith, our prayer team does. Our prayer team has faith, and we partner our faith with your faith, and we call on God. Why? Because we believe in the power of prayer. Start bringing small things to God. Bring big things to God. Bring medium things to God. Bring earth-shattering things to God. Because when you call on God, God will answer you. You understand, Elisha prayed, Lord, open his eyes. Immediately, scripture says, his eyes were open and he saw the army of heaven. In other words, God answered. Then he said, Elisha prayed, blind the army that's attacking us. What happened? Immediately, the army was blinded. Later on, we find Elisha's whole ministry is about calling on God. Elisha didn't have power. He just understood God had power. One time this water was full of poison and the whole town was dying because there was nothing to drink. And Elisha walked over, prayed for the water, and the water was purified and hundreds of lives were saved because he just called on God. One time he's dealing with a widow who ran out of things and he goes, hey, go get a bunch of empty vessels. We're just going to pray. And then oil began to show up and just pour out. In other words, every time Elisha called on God, God began to answer it. It wasn't always in the way he hoped, but God always showed up. Where is it you need to call on God? Where is it you're trying to figure it out on your own merits and your own understanding, your own leadership? Where is it you're just trying to figure it out under your own wisdom? Call on God. See, what you pray for reflects what you really believe about God. Do you really believe he's more than enough? Do you really believe he can restore? Do you really believe he can heal? Because if you're not praying, you may not actually believe that he can. That's why Psalms 46 says, God is our refuge and strength and ever-present help, help, help in time of trouble. Psalms 12:1 says, I lift my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord. You know what I came here for today? To just tell you to lift your eyes. Lift your eyes to the Lord above your problems, on the other side of your struggles, on the other side of the enemy's attack, on the other side of your divorce, on the other side of what your kids are caught up in, on the other side of the consequences of your choices, and see that the army of heaven is working with you. He has not left you. Let your faith arise today and see that the Lord is with you. Would you bow your head all over this place? I believe the Lord is here to do a miracle in just a few moments. We're going to go back into a song in just a little bit, and you're going to get a chance to pray for miracles. But I want you to know that the greatest miracle is someone coming to faith in Christ. The greatest miracle is salvation. Before we can pray and believe that God is enough, sometimes we got to surrender our life and say, God, you are enough. And if you're here today and there's sin in your heart, junk in your life, I want you to know when you surrender to the Lord, the Bible says you're a new creation in Christ. Doesn't matter what you've done, doesn't matter how far you've drifted. When you turn to God, God will meet you right there. If there's sin in your heart, junk in your life, with every head bowed, every eye closed, I just want you to lift your hand to the Lord, and I want to meet you right there, hand to hand, eye to eye. If you say, I need God today, I got sin in my heart, I got junk in my life, and I want to surrender to him. I need to know him. If that's you, count of three. Throw your hand up right where you are. One, two, three. Come on. Come on. All over this place. I see you all right here. Yeah. Come on. Come on. Just hands up. Hands up. You can put them down over here on this section in the middle. There's some of you right in the back. Yeah, I see you. I see you. Anyone else over here on my left, your right? I see you right up there. I see you here. Yep. Come on. In the balcony. Come on. Who is it? Yeah, I see you right there. I see you right there. Who else to say, you know what? I just need the Lord today, man. I need the Lord to just change my life today. Can I tell you, he's here to meet with you. So we're going to pray today. I'm going to say short phrases, and I want everybody in the room, not just those that raise their hand, everybody, to pray with us. You want to know why? Because we're a family. And we do this together. No one's going to pray alone today. Because every one of us that didn't raise our hand, we've done it at one point, and we've surrendered to God, and we're going to walk with you today so that you're not walking alone. So here's what I want you to do. Short phrases, repeat after me. If you raised your hand, just borrow these words and mean it from your heart. We're just trying to help you. These aren't magic words. Let's pray together. Dear God, I give you my life. I stop running and I turn to you. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for sending Jesus to make a way where there was no way. Today, I repent of my sin and I turn the other way. Today, I make a decision to live for you. It's in your name. Amen.
Thanks so much for joining us today. If you enjoyed today's message, I want to encourage you to like it or share it on social media and tag @VictoryFamily_. If you haven't already, download the Victory Family Church app to stay connected with everything that's happening throughout the week. Thanks again for listening. Have an awesome week.